beat God. Now, the section we're looking at this morning is, it is almost bang in the middle. It's the final sort of section of a series of contrasting proverbs that we find in chapters 10 to 15. And here, I think, you'll see in a minute, Solomon makes it kind of easy for us to figure out the wise choices as against the choice of folly. Picking up the theme that we looked at last week, which is, would you rather this or that? So the way he words it is one statement, then another. So to hear that more clearly, we're going to listen to the scripture. And with the help of wonderful Steve, who's going to come down to the front, we're going to hear it in two voices. So Steve will read one part and I will read the second. So we're reading Proverbs 15, 16 to 33.
Better a little with the fear of the Lord
than great wealth with turmoil.
Better a small serving of vegetables with love
than a fattened calf with hatred.
A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict,
but the one who is patient calms a quarrel.
The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns,
but the path of the upright is a highway.
A wise son brings joy to his father,
but a foolish man despises his mother.
Folly brings joy to the one who has no sense,
but whoever has understanding keeps a straight course.
Plans fail for lack of counsel,
but with many advisers they succeed. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word! The path of life leads upward for the prudent, to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead.
The Lord tears down the house of the proud,
but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place.
The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked,
but gracious words are pure in his sight.
The greedy bring ruin to their households,
but the one who hates bribes will live.
The heart of the righteous weighs its answers,
but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil.
The Lord is far from the wicked,
but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, but good news gives health to the bones. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise.
Those who disregard discipline despise themselves,
but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honour. Thank you, Steve. If you look at those verses, they cover an enormous amount of different topics. There's wealth and greed and conflict and planning and helpful speech. And in fact, when I came first to look at this passage, despite the fact I planned it a long while ago, when I came to it, I thought, oh goodness, it's so eclectic and diverse. I felt a little bit overwhelmed. And it was a bit tricky to figure out where to start. So most of the sort of early days of me at the beginning of the week had me puzzling about what to focus on. And though I'd read a bit around the text and looked at some study guides, I then chose to engage with the text in a little bit of a different way. And often I do this, if I get a little bit stuck, I come at it in a more creative way. And it's a method that I came across when I was at Bible College in Gloucester many years ago now. And there was a wonderful chap, a tutor called Derek, who during a course exploring Psalms, he introduced us to this way of interacting with God's word. And it was new to me then. I don't know if it'd been new to you now or whether this is old hat, but every so often, this is just a way that helps me. And what he did was he got us to make a copy of the text. I think we were looking at Ephesians at the time. And rather than just reading it, we were going to engage with it in a creative way. And what you do is begin to look at the text, not as for the sentences as a whole, but you look for common words or themes or key phrases and highlight them. And I think that the passage we were looking at in Ephesians, when it was it Ephesians? Whatever it was. Whichever it might, I've said it was on Psalms, didn't I? Perhaps it wasn't Ephesians. But he got us to pick us out, and it was this sense of, as you looked at the text, you saw this repeated phrase, in him, in him, in him, that you might not have seen if you just read it as a whole passage. But so he got us to do it with the Psalms as well. And so that's what I've done this week. A little snippet. They got my colouring pens out and scribbled all over it and coloured bits in. That's just a thing. Don't want to give away too much yet. What's the next bit? Yeah, don't want to give away too much yet. I'm not allowing any of you to read my notes, or you know what I'm about to say. So that might have looked a little bit of a mess, and it generally is, but then what helps me is it gets me tuned in to discerning what it is that God wants us to have a think about. And it's perhaps, maybe that was a bit of a precursor. I do a bit of Bible journaling, which is like a creative engagement with God's word. And maybe that was the beginning of something that's been a real help to me over the years in terms of engaging with scripture. So having done the scribbling and the colouring in and the sort of the note-taking, what did I sense that God was bringing my attention to for this morning? Well, we know this is a series of contrasting proverbs, and I will have to confess I didn't notice it immediately in that early bit of preparation. Even having read the passage a couple of times and listened to it as well on my Bible app, the first and last verses in the section contain the phrase "fear of the Lord," which I happened to colour. I don't know what colour I put it in on my notes, but I'd coloured in "fear of the Lord." I thought, where is it? Oh, and it's right at the bottom as well. There was nothing in the middle. It just bookended, if you like, the whole thing. Now, we already know that this is a theme that threads its way through Proverbs. We've picked that up. But I will confess it, you know, I didn't notice it straight away. I need to pay attention to my own sermons, I think. But that we know that phrase, fear of the Lord, is not one of terror of God. It brings a sense of being in awe of God. Thou awesome God that we've sung about this morning. It's about respect and admiration and loving him for who he is. Because he is God. He is the creator of everything. He's the source of all. And we would be mindful to remember that as we come to the God who loves us intimately, but is yet awesome. That's what brings us to that sense of fear of the Lord, because of who God is. And as we recognize that, that's where we then come to that point of wanting to bring God honor and glory, because we've made him a priority in our lives. We recognize his greatness in comparison to us and in comparison to anything that we find in the world. I came across a quote by a chap called William Mounts, who wrote a dictionary of the Old and New Testament. And he said, "The fear of God is central to the acquisition of wisdom. In this sense, fear is a positive quality and something to be pursued in the life of the believer." So first thing I noticed, fear of the Lord, that it brackets the verses. What else did I notice? The reference to paths. In verse 19, there's the path of the upright, and in verse 24, the path of life. And again, that brings us building on what we looked at last week, in that our choices can lead us in good ways, positive ways, that draw us closer to God on the way, and in contrast to the ways that would lead us away from him. Now, verse 19 talks of the path of the upright being a highway, in contrast to the way of the sluggard. I do love that as a word. You know, that sense of an idle person. And the sluggard's way is obstructed by thorns. What's the image that comes to mind if you've got, a pathway that's just all overgrown with brambles and sharp things, and that if you went down that way, it would catch your clothing, it would scratch your skin. Now, who would choose that way? And yet the one who's idle and lazy apparently can't be bothered to make any kind of effort to find any other way than the one in front of them. But in contrast, the path of the upright is a highway, a clear straight road leading into the distance, nothing in the way. And then we have verse 24. This is the path leads upward for those who are wise. And exercising such wisdom keeps people from the paths that lead them down to the realm of the dead. And remember that choosing the way of folly, as we looked at last week, leads us to death rather than life. And we know that Jesus picks up this kind of imagery in John 10, where he said that he comes that we might have life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness, this upward nature, this sense of clarity. Okay, so what else did I pick up? I've got the fear of the Lord, and we've got a choice between paths. And apart from the word Lord appearing in the first and last verses of the passage in the fear of the Lord, it also appears in verses 25 to 29. These verses contrast with those that come before it, that present one option of positivity followed by a negative consequence. These verses bring our focus to God's actions, the Lord's actions, and deals with things that please and displease him. Now, we know that God sees all. We know that he knows everything. I don't know if it comes to mind, we've got a story in 1 Samuel where we know that God chose David from among Jesse's sons to be the king of Israel, not because he was good-looking or strong or tall, but because he had a right heart. And when God's prophet Samuel saw the first of Jesse's sons, because Jesse brings out all his many sons, and Samuel looks at the first one, and we're told he takes one look, and his thought was, surely this is the Lord's anointed. He looked and he judged, you know, I'm assuming his son Eliab was tall, and he probably was quite handsome, and he looked fierce maybe, I don't know. But in the next verse, in 1 Samuel 16:7, we're told that the Lord immediately says to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I think it's the heart that's key here. It's for our outward behavior finds its origins in our inner life, in the matters of our heart. That's where the real work of wisdom takes place, because the heart is the source of our intention. So a question for us to have a little bit of think about. What's the source of our motivation? What motivates us? Is it ourselves? The things that we want, the things that we would like? Are we motivated by our friends or family them saying they want us to do things because it's pleasing to them? What is our motivation coming from the world, where we're presented with various options of you need this in life, or you need to do that in life, and that's what's inspiring us to do stuff? That's what's our motivation. Are we doing things to earn something? To earn money or power or status, or perhaps alternative, we're doing something to avoid a punishment, or because it's rewarding to us personally? Or is our motivation God himself, first and foremost, before anything else? You see, if it's God who's our motivation, then picking up on verse 18, if our heart is right, then we will seek to be peacemakers, rather than raising a quarrel or stirring up animosity between people. It's God who's our motivation, then verse 23, we'll seek to speak to encourage and build up rather than break down and destroy. If we've sought to walk closely with God, that will have been instrumental in our growth in wisdom, such that from that we can then make, from all that we've learned, we can make wise comments to others. We can offer wise words of direction and guidance that seeks to keep them from ways that lead down to the realm of the dead. And if it's God who's our motivation, then verse 23 also notes that we will be joy bringers. We'll have God's joy that will bubble up inside us and pour out from the joy that we have in our own hearts. And we can be very much, as we find in Nehemiah 10, we can be stay that the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sure, we want to be people who bubble up with joy and infectious, such that other people then pick that up. It's interesting the number of times we have kind of visitors who perhaps come into our spaces and they pick up on something they can't quite put their finger on, But it's that sense of joy, the joy of the Lord that comes from each one of us as a body of God's people that we want to share with others. So what really underpins what we do and what we say? We come back to the verses that bookend our passage, the fear of the Lord, because what it is, we need to cultivate a right fear of God. One where we consider how God views what we're doing and saying, and we recognise that God knows what it is that is motivating us. Because he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what is at the heart of the decisions that we make. You see, at the core of who we are, we need to be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves and we need to be honest with God. We need to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves, do we have a heart that is inclined towards God? Is our passion for putting him first? Is our passion for seeking the good of others rather than for our personal gain? And are we making our home among the wise? Or are we finding our instruction, our guidance in life from other sources? Remember that we note at the beginning of the verses, these verses cover a huge variety of situations and subjects. And we know that many more than even we've just touched on today are covered throughout the whole of the book of Proverbs. And I guess if you sat and you read it start to finish in one bit, you would feel it as overwhelming, perhaps even as I came to these few verses for this morning. If you try and take everything into account all at once, it's too much. Except that if we remember that it's the very diversity of what we find here that demonstrates God's desire for us to have wisdom in all areas of our lives. And in taking time to read through the book, we can discover these gems of wisdom that can be applied to so many different areas of the situations that we find ourselves in. Just beyond in the beginning, if we move into the beginning of chapter 16, if you carry on reading, you'll find this is what it says in verses 1 to 3. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. We need to take things seriously. We need to take our future seriously. And surely as God's people, we yearn for God to be working in us and through us so that in all that we do, we bring him glory. We are the signpost that points other people to him. Without holding God's standards for living rightly and well, we can rationalize and justify almost anything that we would want to do. Because I'm sure that we would say that, you know, if it's good for me, then that's a good thing to do. I mean, at least that's what the world says, isn't it? If it's right, just do it. But before we do anything, before we speak, before we act, before we put any plan into action, we need to seek after God. We need to commit our ways to him and consider with due diligence if what we have in mind falls in harmony with the truth that we find in him and in his word. And if we consider our attitudes towards this, the question would be good, is it pleasing to God? Is what we're going to do or say or think really for God, or is it for our benefit? Will it bring God glory or us? And if we move forward and take a look at Jesus as an example of a model of this, we see that he set his Father's will at the center of all that he said and did. And everything that he did flowed from that point, which meant he always acted justly, he always acted rightly, and he always spoke with wisdom and brought glory to God in every aspect. And when Isaiah prophesied about Jesus long before he came to live amongst us, he wrote this about him. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. So in Jesus, then, we find an example for us to follow. This is wisdom's instruction to us. If we delight in the fear of the Lord, then we too can have that same clarity and wisdom and power that will lead us ever onwards into the ways of God. The Proverbs we've looked at this morning and the book as a whole reveal to us more and more about God himself, about his intentions, about his desires for the world, for us as a community, for God's family here together, and for us personally. But for God to be our motivation means intentionality on our behalf. So a challenge to consider in the coming days. Are we being intentional about seeking God and his wisdom? And coming back to that, what we picked up in chapter 2, are we crying out to God for it? Or was that just a nice idea from a few weeks ago and we've kind of got on with life and forgotten about it? And are we surrounding ourselves with people, with those we consider to be wise, so we can allow them to speak into our lives and give us guidance and direction that comes in turn from God's word and their time with it? We're called to find our home among the wise, to turn away from self-focused life and living that the world so encourages us to pursue. We are to love what God loves. We are to value what he values and hate what he hates. And the only way we will know that is if we take the time to find out. Are you willing to invest in being intentional about this? In taking time out of all the busyness of life to learn so that we have eyes opened to the truth in God's teaching and discover all the good that comes from walking in his ways?